What's up, guys? Welcome to episode 22 of the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. Every week, we sit down for about an hour, and we talk about what's going on in tech in the past week, all the stuff that we checked out, and just, you know, sit down and geek out. This episode is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy something, that, of course, helps us out. So anytime you're buying PC hardware or anything, because it's Amazon for that matter, if you use that link, we would definitely appreciate it. This week, as always, with me for the most part, almost every episode, I have Derek with me. What's up, Derek?
Always, sometimes, occasionally. What's up, Bob?
You're here most of the time. You make yep. it a... An,
All but one, it, I believe.
I think two. Maybe two.
Two? No. I don't know. It was just the one time.
One out of 22 is pretty good, I feel.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
Yeah, you've done a pretty good job of making it on the show, even though everybody hates you. I don't think everybody hates Derek. I think most people like him.
So that's good. a few of the most.
Wonder if we had somebody on staff that like everybody hated, but like
we don't.
We don't. But if like everything that he wrote on the site, it just like everybody just went in there and started to troll him or something. That'd be kind of funny.
That'd be awesome. I would look forward to every single review.
Yeah, I know, just for the comments. But yeah. We don't have that.
We should get that.
I don't know if everybody would really want that. I don't know. That'd be kind of odd. But anyways, let's jump right into our reviews this week. So we had some pretty cool products. The first one is Sapphire's Tri-X R9 390X graphics card. This is, of course, Sapphire's highest-end R9 300 series graphics card. I took a look at it. We talked last week about building a graphics card test rig, and this was kind of the idea, is to get some of these higher end graphics cards in. This, unfortunately, is a more or less a rebrand of or refresh of the R9 290X, and it just has a little bit higher clock and 8 gigabytes of GDDR5 memory. One good thing about this card that Sapphire really did is they really worked on their cooling solution, because if you remember the 290 series, they ran so hot, incredibly hot. So Sapphire has really done a great job with their Tri-X cooling solution, really heavy-duty cooling solution on this card. And one thing, it's actually very quiet as well. It's not as quiet as, say, some of the 980 cards, but it is for, you know, working with what AMD gave them, they've really done a great job with the cooling solution on this card. I think that's the big highlight of this card, is the cooling solution. And for an AMD card, when the fan is not, or when the GPU is not being used, more or less, when it's, you know, low
idling,
when it's idling, the fans turn completely off. We've seen this in a lot of cards, especially on the Nvidia side, but to have that on the AMD side is really good as well. Great card. They completely redesigned, like, the color design of the card, which I saw it in pictures when it was first announced. I'm like, this looks so boring. But if you actually get the card in hand, it's a really sleek and sophisticated design that should appeal to pretty much everybody. Great, cool. You know, great all-around card. Again,
how big is it? It looks huge.
It's pretty long. It's a it's a longer card. It's, you know, about the same size as a 980 Ti.
Okay.
Right around that size. It is I think Sapphire did the best that they could with what AMD gave them, right? Because again, this is a refresh or rebrand, and they kind of had to do what, you know, what they could do with it. So
it's tough to have to sell that.
Yeah. So, but it is a great card. You know, this will do your 4K gaming at pretty, you know, low to mid settings, because you do have that 8 gigabytes of VRAM, so
yeah,
that really helps out. Yeah, it really helps out with that. It's a good card. Again, you can't really fault Sapphire for the problems that are with this card, because again, they did everything that they can. The cooling solution is really great. Again, that's the highlight of this card, is a cooling solution, because it is one of the best. I was really actually surprised. I thought, you know,
actually usable.
With previous cards, previous AMD-based cards, you know, when you're gaming and we're doing the temperature testing and you know, putting max load on the card, they would sound like a spaceship, like taking off, or like a rocket ship, and you're like, wow, this is just, you know, not good. And with this, I was pleasantly surprised. Not loud at all. Even under, you know, 100% load, you know, very, very good job on the coolant solution. I think that's the biggest thing to take away from this card. If you're looking for a 390X, this is a quiet one. This is one that's going to stay cool as well, and actually beat out older NVIDIA cards as far as temperature testing, which is actually really good.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, definitely take a look at that. You actually retested a product you reviewed, what, last week?
Or the week before? 2 weeks ago, I believe we had it.
2 weeks ago. So, yeah. 2 weeks ago, Derek took a look at the DeepCool Captain 240 liquid CPU cooler. That's an all-in-one unit. Yep. And it was one of the probably worst products we reviewed.
Performance-wise.
Yeah, performance-wise, probably and all year.
It was probably the worst AAO I've done.
Yeah, so it was pretty bad. And DeepCool was like, this is not right. We're going to send you another one. So they sent you another one, and you can tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah, I didn't know. Well, we had an issue. It came in. The first one came in with the thermal paste all messed up on it. So I had to replace it with some generic stuff that I had. And I used it. It was bad. No matter what I did, it was bad. So they sent us this one. Thermal paste was good. Interestingly, they actually changed the mounting brackets. I included some new pictures of that. So they changed the design to something that is more similar to what you would see on like a custom loop block with thumb screws, with springs, and it's kind of just a little beefier design. And so we actually wound up with substantially lower temps. I think this is actually the best 240 that we've got. It dropped like 10 degrees Celsius.
Wow.
So like,
do you think that can't just be the thermal paste?
I think I'm not sure if they cherry picked us one either, you know.
Yeah.
Knowing they were going for a better result, but I don't think that thermal paste is going to get, I mean, I went from it was a ceramic to a performance, you know, a metal-based thermal paste, but I've never seen a 10 degree drop.
Yeah, that's pretty...
From paste.
I think one thing that we're going to talk about, because I actually took a look at a DeepCool product this week as well, is I don't know if they have a problem with customs or how their products come in, because your original DeepCool Captain 240 came in and it was messed up as far as like the... It hadn't been opened.
Yeah.
And I reviewed the DeepCool Assassin 2, which I'll talk about in a second, but that appeared to be opened as well. And actually looking at other reviews of DeepCool products, you know,
from other companies,
from other review sites and things like that, it seems that a lot of the products have been opened or looked at or messed with. You know, that
there's no good to them.
Yeah. So I don't know how exactly DeepCool is shipping their products. I know a lot of companies that we deal with, they send a massive container, you know, like the big containers. Mm-hmm. They send a container over, and then that container goes to, say, a distributor like Newegg or something like that. Now, I don't know if DeepCool is necessarily doing it that way, or the review samples that are coming directly from them.
I'm thinking our review samples are coming directly from Hong Kong.
Yeah, and that... were, you know, they're obviously getting opened up and looked at coming through customs or something like that. We really, really hope that consumers aren't having the same problem. We don't know because we haven't seen it. There hasn't been a big, you know, outpour of...
I haven't seen, like, a backlash or anything with their products.
But it's really good that that had performed a lot better. It's really sad sometimes when we have to post a bad review. We're obviously going to do it. It's sometimes if it's really that bad, it kind of blows our mind because, you know, these companies spend millions of dollars in R&D and testing, and it's very unlikely that a company comes out with a bad product.
Yeah.
If it's something that doesn't perform that great, it's usually justified in their price. Mm-hmm. You know, if something's just kind of okay, but the price is $20-$30, that's... You know, you get what you're getting when you pay for. You know,
but with a $100+ product, you expect some decent, especially, you know, with their original price of $150. But actually, they did point out that the price was lower than what we found too, so they got some more points for that. Yeah. You know the thing with that I found with the Deep Cool though, and it's been with several of their AIOs, is like the hardware, the screws don't fit like easily into the holes. I don't know if it's like paint overspray or they're not machined well. But like I've snapped screws installing them, so like they could definitely take a look at like little with all the money you're spending on it, like step up the quality a little bit on some of it.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe. I think I mean this is their second AIO, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So series, yeah.
Yeah, so I think this is a new kind of frontier from them, and I don't believe that they're actually developing the liquid cooling technology.
I'd imagine they're buying it from somebody in China.
Yeah, so they're probably buying that. You know, just like how Corsair does, and a lot of them do, is the whole technology or the, you know, the design of the
pump and the radiator.
Yeah, it's all by somebody else. I know Acetec does that a lot with a lot of different companies, and the other companies kind of put their own flair on it, especially Corsair. They put their own flair on it. They obviously redesign the mounting system. A lot of them do, because the default mounting system with a lot of those are pretty bad.
especially if you choose to stick with it. It's kind of sad.
Yeah, so I think that's the thing too, is that maybe, you know, the next time around Deep Cool will really say, okay, this is what we've got from the OEM. Now we're going to go ahead and put our own, you know, flair on it. We're going to have better quality mounting stuff. We're going to, you know.
Yes, just step it up in general.
Yeah. So,
but it's definitely a good start, and I really liked the design of it, the steampunk theme. We don't see things like that, so.
Yeah, that's definitely a pretty cool design for an AIO, you know, especially if you don't want to get into building your own custom loop. It is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad that they sent us another one to test. We love when companies do that, because we're gonna post something regardless of if it's good or bad.
Yeah, we have to.
So they definitely wanted to set the record straight, and they proved that that was the case. So that is very good. But I just talked about it, and I reviewed the Deep Cool Assassin 2, which is a massive air-cooled CPU cooler. It is huge. It is one of the biggest that I reviewed this year. 8 total heat pipes, dual heat sink stacks, and dual fans. It is a massive CPU cooler. Just like how I talked about, it felt like it was opened. There was no protection on the actual CPU block, and it got scratched. It was scratched when I opened it. Again, it just makes me think that it had been opened. The actual heatsink tower seemed to be kind of bent a little bit too, which was weird. So, like, the biggest thing that I pointed out in this review was the how it came. Because, one, if you have a scratched CPU block, that means you're not going to have as good contact with your CPU.
No, with air, that's really bad.
Yeah, so that was kind of the big thing there. One thing I was really surprised is I got the CPU cooler out. I'm like, this thing is massive. It's going to be a pain in the ass to install. It's just going to be horrible. It was one of the easiest coolers I installed all year.
Really?
Yeah. You know, even though it was massive, you just take the middle fan out. They have a very simple mounting bracket that goes down in there. It took no time at all.
Sweet.
So that was a good thing. Great performance. Extremely quiet as well. The fans that they have on there are extremely quiet. It is a good cooler. One issue that I did find is that the only place I could find it for sale was $109.99. For an air cooler, I just feel that's too much.
That's more than the Noctua's.
Yeah. And a couple of the coolers that we tested, I don't know how many air coolers I have in my graph, but I think I have at least 20. At least 20. So it scored number 5 out of 20, which is really good. But there's other coolers that are in the test group that perform better that are much cheaper, like in the $50, $60 range.
Like all of them.
Yeah, so that's an issue. I don't know, again, Deep Cool being a newer company and being especially a newer company to the United States. Getting their products in stores is kind of a hard thing, I feel, for them.
I don't think they're based in the U.S. at all.
They're not.
I think that's going to be part of the problem.
Yeah. And I heard that the MSRP for this was $89.99, but still at that price point, I think $99 is the highest you'll get for an air cooler, and it has to be the best number one air cooler out there.
Yeah.
I think
like the sweet spot is right around 70 for like a top end.
Yeah, top end is 69, usually 69.99. We'll see something like that. But you do get a couple of value add-ons with this. It does come did the AIOs come with that
splitter?
The fan hub?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, so this came with that that exact same fan hub as well. So you have that little value add-on. But again, great performance, easy installation. Just one, the way it came is a concern. And two, that the price that I found it at, and it was the only place that I could find it at, was just too expensive. I would rather get an AIO for that price.
Yeah, you could get a good one for that price.
Yeah, so... our last review this week was of some mobile products that Jack took a look at, and that's
Jack, two in a row.
Yeah, the Luxa 2 Smart Clip and Tab Clip. So these are mobile holders that are made to go in your vehicle, and I've never before I actually had one of these because I have one of these now in my car.
Okay,
I thought they were so dumb, and I was like, why?
That's how I think.
Yeah, because I mean. They're anywhere between, you know, $15 and $30, $40 sometimes. But if you're, like, if you're driving somewhere and you're actually using your Maps app, having it on the dashboard is just such a convenience, really.
Rather than just having it in your lap.
And then, yeah, looking down and almost crashing and all that kind of stuff, or missing an exit because you're not paying attention or you have the music blasting or something like that, you know.
Yeah.
Having it there just makes it so much easier. It makes it easier to, say, maybe read messages and things like that. and one thing that a lot of people don't realize is these can also be used, you know, not just for the driver, but for the passengers as well. If you have children and maybe they want to watch something or whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So the Smart Clip is, of course, for your smartphone, and the Tab Clip is for your tablet. One thing I really like about these is they're universal. So they can be adjusted to fit your device, which I like. I hate seeing ones that are just made for iPhone or just
I was about to say. Little lowercase I before it.
Yeah, or just made for like the Samsung phones, and it's like, well, you know, I have a couple different devices. I want to use them all in here, and this is what's great about these products. They're priced pretty good. I have to go into the review here and look.
I think you were 15 and 30, I think.
I think 15 for the Smart Clip and maybe 30 for the Tab Clip, which isn't bad.
How big of a tablet does it support?
Good question.
I don't think he's got it in.
I think it's in there, but I just don't.
Oh, 6 to 10 inch.
Yeah, 6 to 10 inch
tablet.
That's not bad. Yeah. Yeah, those are just pretty good products. Jack did the whole, I'm going to pick this up and flail it around it so I can show you that nothing's going to fall out of it, and he did
like
that.
Like the last one that he broke?
Yeah. So this, these are just good mobile products. Luxa 2 has always had some pretty good mobile products. They're not very well known in the United States just yet. But they will be soon. They just got a deal with B&H Photo, which is a pretty big online retailer, which was a couple days ago. They just got that. So these are two really great products from them. If you're looking for something like this, I would totally recommend it. We've tested them, and they work great.
Nice.
Yep. So that is reviews for the week. Four pretty solid reviews. We'll move on to Case Mod Friday. We talk about this obviously every podcast because we do our podcasts on Friday. but Case Mod Friday is a section on the site where we cover each week a case mod or case build that has gone on in the community that's been completed. Just a way to showcase what's possible with PC hardware and the creativity of people out there who are doing these mods. So this
feel week, your dreams.
Yes. So this week we have Project Imagination, which is a little bit older build that I found a while ago, but we haven't put it up yet. And I really, really like this. And one thing I like about this is they use a case that hasn't been used hardly at all for case mods.
Yeah.
That is the Cooler Master Stormtrooper, which I feel is one of Cooler Master's better cases in the past few years. That doesn't get enough credit, I feel. And this is just a great all-around mod. The designer here, he used the black and red theme, which we've seen so many mods use. This is kind of...
There's so many components that are made in black and red. Yeah, it's easy to do.
Yeah, it makes it really easy. One cool thing that he did is he completely redesigned the motherboard tray to have the vertical graphics cards, which I love.
Yeah.
Anytime
you reorient the motherboard, it's a plus one for you.
Yeah, for sure. Really, just really, really great design. Another thing I really liked is that he was able to... He built his own PSU shroud, which we've seen for a while now. A lot of people do. But he actually built a 5.25-inch drive bay into the PSU shroud, which I thought was really, really cool. And he put a little fan controller in there.
Yeah, I like the fan controller. It's a good touch.
Yeah, so that's very, very cool. This is also one of the better builds with cable management. You can barely see any cables in this.
Yeah.
I really, really like that. Attention to detail. And even if you look at some of the photos of the back side of the case, there's hardly any cables. It's like, I don't know how he did it. I don't know where the cables are.
Yeah, he did a real good job.
Yeah.
He's got the... Where did the backside picture go? Looks like he's got a solid-state drive mounted to the back of the motherboard?
Yeah, yeah. So this case came out before that whole craze of mounting SSDs to the backside of the motherboard tray, and he made his own little mounting system back there.
Pretty interesting spot. It's right in the cutout. I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that is kind of interesting. Cool. Yeah. Very yeah, cool. Just a
bare... I like the two fans in the back are like shroudless.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a pretty neat trick.
Yeah.
And then he's got, I don't know if it's a custom, no, I don't think it's a custom reservoir, but he's got the reservoir in the back side so we can easily check his levels, but it's also a really
I think
neat
it is a
feature.
I think it is.
Did he build it?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he built that.
Oh, well then, right on.
Yeah, so it's a very, very cool design. Definitely check this one out. Again, it's a little older, but it is a very well done, great attention to detail.
It's a good example of what you can do without altering the case design too much.
I mean, he did some pretty big alterations, but I get what you're saying.
Like, it's still the same outer shape of the case,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. That's
like because there's I've done these are the kinds of mods that I've done is where you change the entire interior, maybe alter the exterior a little bit to make it work for you, but like you can still tell what case it is.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Just a great mod. And it uses the hard tubing,
yep.
Which I love.
Early rendition of the
hard tube. Yeah, so definitely a very, very good mod. So definitely check that out. And we have a whole section of case mods under our Case Mod Friday section on the site. And if you have a case mod or case build and you want to get it featured, we have a section on the site called Submit Your Case. And you can submit your case, and we'll definitely get it up. We usually post submissions before we post ones that we go out and find. So if you submit something, it will definitely make it onto the site, unless it's not a real case mod or build.
Or not modded.
Yeah. If you send us a case...
A built computer.
We probably won't feature it.
Yeah.
But if it's...
Even send us your air cooling mods. That's cool, too.
Yeah. Yeah. We've actually seen some air cooling mods...
Not as many, but I mean, actually, we really like seeing them. So whatever you got going on,
yeah, definitely send it over. Again, have a whole section, and if you're looking for inspiration or anything like that, check out all of the ones we featured, which I think is a lot by now. I don't even know how many.
It's got to be, at least 22.
Well, yeah, we feature one every week, and we've been doing it on a constant basis for a while. So
longer than that, yeah.
Yeah, definitely go ahead and check that out. And we'll move into news this week. And we've actually had some pretty cool stuff this week I've been excited for. So the first thing is that Asus has created a new mounting tool for CPUs on their Z170 motherboards. So the biggest cause, at least, I mean, according to Asus, and I know just a lot of people in general, the biggest cause of RMAs for motherboards is bent CPU pins. So
I can believe that.
I install a lot of CPUs. I really don't have this problem just because I'm careful. But a lot of people,
especially
first-time builders, will just drop the CPU in and just if you bend a pin,
there's some really stupid things I've seen.
Yes, if you bend a pin, it's likely that it's going to mess something up because you're not going to have the right contacts for your CPU. So what Asus has done has created a CPU installation tool, and what it is, it's sort of like a bracket that you put the CPU in before you mount it on the motherboard, just to make it easier.
Yeah, it kind of like it only orients into it one way, so you can't clamp it down onto the wrong, or like it can't be in there wrong.
That's the biggest thing too, is with the CPUs, a lot of people put them in the wrong way and then try to secure it, and that definitely bends the pins.
Yeah, that's what bends
for sure. So the way this is you put it in this bracket can only be installed the correct way, and it can only be secured the correct way. So it's just going to eliminate that problem. It's great to see. Asus is usually the company that you'll see Asus come out with something, and then everybody will copy it.
There will soon be this in, like, everything.
Yeah, so we saw it with the OC bracket, or the OC socket on X99. Mm-hmm. Before that, we saw, what did we see? The PCB isolation, they started that on Z.
Sound isolation.
Yeah, the Z87. They did the PCB isolation. Pretty much everything you see in motherboards, Asus typically does first. It's not often we see another company do something first and then Asus do it after them.
Yeah.
So it's great to see Asus do this. I would assume if this isn't patented, which I don't think they can, I don't know. I don't believe they could patent something like this.
If they don't, there will be other renditions of it anyways.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of companies do this in their upcoming motherboards.
Did they name it? Did they give it a...
It just says Asus CPU installation tool.
Maybe. It's probably not patented then. They would have given it a fancy name.
Yeah, so it's really good that they do this. And again, it gives another reason to get an Asus motherboard just because it would be easier to install. And this is going to help builders, especially first-time builders.
Yeah,
For sure. So it's great to see that from Asus. For sure.
It's interesting that it took this long for somebody to think of something like that.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of hard because the CPU socket is kind of a set thing. You kind of have to design this carefully.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the biggest thing, too, is that especially with – I think we've seen not – I mean, obviously, compared to figures, like the PC industry is declining. But I think we see a lot of builders these days, especially with PC gaming becoming more popular, or you know, esports and all of that. Everybody's building their own PC now, and I think that the past couple generations of mainstream products, we've seen a lot of people build their own system. And with that, we have first-time builders, and with that, we have a lot of bent pins.
Yeah, I think we've seen a surge of first-time builders.
Yeah,
like people I wouldn't have expected to be interested that I've known are suddenly interested in PC. So
yeah. So, definitely cool to see Asus do that. I'm sure we'll see it on their upcoming motherboards. So, move on from there. From a pretty cool product, which we're trying to get into review for you, is a not as well-known company called ID Cooling. They came out with this pretty cool all-in-one cooler that has blocks for both the GPU and CPU.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking.
Definitely.
I thought I had seen this, but I think I'm wrong.
Yeah, I'm not. They said it's the world's first, so I'm
It's got to be.
But
like you wouldn't claim that if it wasn't. I would think.
I mean, people have claimed things like that before, surprisingly.
Yeah. But anyways, it's really cool. There's a pump for both your pump and block for both the CPU and the GPU, so the tubing is interconnected with one single 120 millimeter radiator on it, and it's just a nice clean little setup. Still has a fan for cooling your memory and VRMs on your GPU, so because it's not a full coverage block, of course, so you're gonna need some air cooling on it still.
Here's the question, because you would know, because you review all the AIOs. Do you think this has enough cooling power to cool both the CPU and GPU?
I don't think the radiator is big enough.
Okay.
I think it's got enough pump power to keep the... Obviously, it's got two pumps, so smart there. But so there's two ways to answer this. There's, can you slap it on and leave everything stock? I'm sure it will do that just fine. That's been...
Now, say I'm playing...
That's been brought up before with other companies that have done expandable AIOs. They're like, well, we're not concerned about overclocking.
Here's the thing. Say I'm running everything on stock, but I'm playing... I'm playing Far Cry 4 at 4K, and I'm playing it for 5 hours.
I think you're fine.
You're fine? I mean, yeah, that's good then, right?
I would think so, yeah. But I don't think that's... You think that's who this would be targeted for? I think that the guy that just wants to play on stock doesn't care. Like, he's like, well, it's cool. The stock coolers are all fine, right?
Yeah,
they're gonna do fine. Why even spend the money to upgrade to this? I think you have to be able to at least upgrade your CPU and not, or overclock your CPU. And why wouldn't you overclock your GPU? It's even easier.
This is true. I think that this has a lot of things too for like the people who, again, aren't gonna build their own custom loop. And, you know, they want to get an AIO for their CPU, and this kind of just lets it, like, oh, I can do my GPU in the same thing. That's pretty cool. I'll do that.
Yeah, I think that it's definitely, like, they're going to see it as a bargain. But I think my guess when we test it is that it's going to be limited in what its capabilities are. And I could be wrong, but in my experience, 240 millimeters of radiator is not enough for both a CPU and a GPU in a custom loop. Gotcha. So why should it work for an AIO, which should have lower cooling capacity?
Yeah. Well, definitely something cool, but at the same time, the price is $140.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price. So...
Yeah. I think they should. They're not going to consider from us talking about on the podcast, but throw another pair of fans in would help. That's for sure.
Yeah,
include 4 fans with it. But I hope we get it because I would really like to test it.
Yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. It was just announced, so if we don't get it, I'm sure there'll be reviews of it coming out. I would think they would want reviews of it unless it's really bad.
Yeah, in which case they just want to sell it.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have to see about that, but definitely a pretty cool product from ID Cooling. And we'll move on to graphics card stuff. So EVGA finally launched their GeForce GTX 980.
I think finally is the right word. It seems like it's been a while.
It was first shown at Computex, and now it's finally out. They probably have to do a lot of tweaks. I don't know even how many of these they're going to have because this is their highest clock card.
Should be the highest bin chips. It should be all the best chips.
Yeah, it's they're all hand-picked chips. It's just an insane card.
Yeah.
This
had the world record for a day, I think, or so.
Yeah, it has
when it came out.
It has an all custom PCB, 14 plus 3 phase digital VRM, 12 layer PCB. I mean, it is just an insane.
Yeah. I'd like one, and yeah. It's pretty too, I think.
And the actual heat sinks, which are typically aluminum on most cards, are copper. So this card has to be heavy as well.
Yeah.
But
very efficient.
Yeah. It has to be heavy. I forget who. I think it was MSI had their gold edition or something like that at CES, and I picked it up, and it was just a heavy card.
Yeah.
So this thing has to be heavy. But it's their highest clock card. It is just ready to go.
It's not actually, is it for sale yet? I don't think it's actually.
I'm not sure.
Oh, it's on. Nope. I don't think it is.
It might not be available yet, but it's
right been, around like, the corner.
It has been finalized. It's ready to go.
Okay.
So definitely just an insane card. Yep. And one of the better looking
cards. If you're looking for something that you can really play with, this is a card for you. It's going to be. Do we have a price? It's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
But nothing will overclock like it. It's just built for it. So if you really want to play the card,
I'm reading the press release, and it's saying that EVGA is introducing a new way to select your approximate GPU ASIC, approximate OC performance, quality before purchasing.
Oh, that's cool, yeah, I guess.
That's pretty interesting.
So you got to pay more for a better ASIC?
Yeah.
For a better ASIC score?
I assume so.
Oh, never seen that before.
That's interesting.
It'll work. These guys that do like liquid nitrogen and stuff, they'll pay whatever it takes to get the highest.
Yeah.
Highest discard they can get.
It'd be interesting to see some people test this.
I've seen ASIC scores used for like resale, like as on some overclock forums, right?
Oh yeah.
Because then you can say, well, this card has this ASIC score.
Okay.
But I've never seen an actual company use ASIC score.
That's pretty interesting though.
Yeah.
It should be on sale because it says July 22nd. So
it's not even sold out on like Newegg or Amazon. It's just not there.
They might not have it in yet, and it might they might have an exclusive somewhere as well, which I would think would be Newegg, but we'll see.
Yeah, not many people are icing Newegg out.
Yeah, so it should be available soon if it's not yet. We just haven't found it. So definitely a cool card. I would definitely want a few of those. for sure.
Definitely 4K on with that.
Yes, for sure. So we have some new news on NVIDIA's upcoming graphics cards for 2016. So we had first talked about NVIDIA taping out their GP100 silicon. That was about a month ago. And now we're hearing that they're working on two HBM-based graphics cards, one for the consumer market and one for the professional market.
Makes sense.
So the consumer market, if they use the same naming scheme, it would be the GTX 1080, which would be kind of weird, I feel. I don't know. Like, just getting into the higher numbers is kind of odd. So they might change the name, obviously, that AMD did with their Fury line. So they might change the name of it, but if not, it'd be the GTX 1080. And this will have four high stacks of HBM2. And
so 4 gigabytes?
4 gigabytes.
Okay.
No, 8 gigabytes. I don't remember.
Okay.
I can't think of it. But it's kind of weird because we really don't know these specifications yet because they're not public. We're just going on what it's said to be.
I mean, you can obviously see the chips on the die in the picture. It's just a question of what they represent.
Yeah. So we're not exactly sure, but the professional cards will have eight high stacks.
Yeah, it'll probably be 8 gigs, I bet.
Yeah. So these will be pretty impressive cards. It's good to see that NVIDIA is going through with HBM, and not only on their consumer cards, but their professional cards as well.
Yeah. Now, we talked last week about them not getting access to HBM.
Yeah, so that's going to be the big question, too, is that they're designing this card, obviously. That's where we're getting this news from, is because this card is being designed, or these two cards are being designed. Yeah. But when they come to market, if there's not enough available HBM, and if AMD actually has an exclusive right to, you know, HBM2 when it comes out, that could be an issue for NVIDIA.
Yeah, I think we would see some delays because you can't design the product around one memory set and then change it the last minute to, like, GDDR5.
Yeah, so that would
throw your whole architecture off.
Yeah, so we're not exactly sure. Obviously, last week when we talked about that, that's just kind of up in the air right now. We don't know the yields yet. This is all going to be in 2016, so it's not going to be for a while.
Yeah.
But it's definitely cool to see NVIDIA working on that. Of course, everybody does get excited for new graphics cards.
Yeah, I'm kind of like eyeing this carefully. Like, is now the time? Do I wait till 2016? I don't know.
Yeah, so we'll have to see.
For all my gaming.
Yes, because you game so much.
So much.
And then moving over to the AMD side, it's been reported that the R9 Nano cards have shipped to retail. This is kind of interesting because this is the card that I talked about extensively when AMD did their press conference and their event. Mm-hmm. This is the card that impressed me. This is the card that this is going to change the game. Just because of its size and its supposed power in that form factor. It's extremely small. It can fit in an ITX case.
Easily.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting because we don't know which chip is in here. A lot of people said it's the VGXT, which is the same one on the Fury X, but that doesn't make a lot of sense because that needs to be water-cooled, you know. But the biggest thing is that when they did their presentation, they said it's 2 times more efficient than the R9 290X, which is incredibly impressive in that form factor. But again... Mm-hmm. We've been disappointed in AMD with their Fury X and Fury launches. They haven't
underwhelming performance.
Underwhelming performance, and all of that. So, hopefully, if these are coming out soon, we'll get some reviews out. There'll be reviews out, and we'll see the actual performance of this card.
I saw talk of people thinking this was actually going to beat the 390X?
That would be...
Do you think that's capable? Because that would be the, that would be money.
Well, yeah, I think that... See, here's I've heard a couple things. I've heard one... Okay, so we had the Fury, or the Fury X, which lines up against the... It sits between the 980 and 980 Ti, right? And then we have the Fury, which sits a little bit below that. Yeah. So in theory, if this card is even cut down more, because it's smaller...
Yeah.
It doesn't have the cooling power of the other cards.
So it simply can't be.
Yeah, so, I mean, it, like, if you just go by the design of the card...
Physical
yeah, if
specifications.
You just, and if you go down, if they're releasing this in that time frame, highest card, middle card, low card, right? That's, you know, the release schedule. How this, if this is lower, then it's going to compete with the 960 and 970? Which
is actually where the 390X is, or yeah, 390X is at, isn't it?
Yeah,
right, so around the 970.
Yeah, so it's like if it competes with that, I'm not that impressed because I can get a 970 in the same form factor, I believe, or 960 in the same form factor. So,
and if it's just like that slight bit faster, that's not really much better either.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, is that we don't know if this is going to be... There's going to be custom designs of this card or anything like that. You know, if it's just the AMD default, I wouldn't be that inclined to get it, to be honest.
Yeah, it would be neat to see some custom cooling put on it, and then you can up their performance.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. The size, though, really limits, I mean... You can only put so big of a fan on.
Yeah, there. You know, I would hope to see some, you know, water blocks for this and everything too.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see that.
But it, again, I think they have to kind of do a better job with this. I think if it beats the 390X, that would be good for them. I think that's where. I think that this card has to do that, right?
Yeah.
You would think this card has to beat that. So then you have. You have a full Fury line that is actually better than the 200 series, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Every single card has to be better than...
Than the 290X.
Yeah.
If every single card in the Fury line is better than 290X, I think that's a win for AMD.
That's the best they can get out of the situation.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what they have to do. Yeah, so hopefully, cool. if it's shipped to retail, one thing that's interesting about this story is that they said it's shipped to retail, but we haven't seen any leaked benchmarks, which usually if it's something shipped to retail, we've seen benchmarks before because people...
Somebody in a warehouse somewhere.
So it was that, or we see people who leak stuff that are testing the cards, because if it's shipped to retail, that means that the review units are out there. Mm-hmm. That would make sense. So,
and somebody's willing to post them.
Yeah, so we'll have to see about that. Don't know. But hopefully it comes out soon, and hopefully maybe we'll get one into review.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool. So we'll move on from graphics card stuff to Skylake.
Woo!
So we've had two awesome overclocks this week. From people who have their hands on Skylake processors.
Supposedly have their hands on.
I don't know if you want to believe the screenshots or not. They're kind of hard to believe because, one, well, the error...
Bob, how could you possibly fake a screenshot?
We've seen it so many times. So the flagship processor in the Skylake series will be the Core i7 6700K. And that is the true successor to the 4790K, the Devil's Canyon processor,
right?
Which I reviewed. And what's kind of interesting is if they made the improvements that they have, this overclock 5.2 gigahertz on air is pretty impressive. I think I got the 1. Devil's Canyon chip up to 4.4 on an AIO, 4.4, 4.5. Now, that's obviously, I'm not going in and changing every little power detail,
yeah.
Which you can. It's just a pain in the ass. I didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know, but
continue to overclock.
Yeah, but for you know, basic to, you know, middle ground overclock, as far as technical know-how goes, I think that's what I did. And 4.4, I believe, is what I got on that chip. And again, that's not on, on a 240mm AIO.
Yeah.
So,
whatever air cooler this is. Yeah. I guess we can say we don't know. I mean, they could have stuck a box fan next to the case. And
yeah,
so things like that will help. But still, it wouldn't matter because even on air, 5.2, I mean.
I think we're going to see higher overclocks with this chip. I think. We're definitely going to see higher overclocks. Again, we'll have to see whenever this chip comes out, what everything is and how the different power modes and everything like that. But I think we're
going to. The only thing that makes me question this is that we saw the same exact thing happen when Haswell launched.
Yeah, when Haswell launched, we heard 5 gigahertz on air. That was a big thing. Devil's Canyon. When it didn't happen with Haswell, everybody said Devil's Canyon 5 gigahertz on air. And that whole couple weeks going up to the release of that, we saw this exact same thing. We saw this. This is 5 gigahertz on, over 5 gigahertz on air.
We've got the CPU Z-Shot.
Yeah, I don't know if they were fake. We didn't really go back and look because,
nobody's chip hit what they.
Yeah,
supposed.
And I've hit. I can boot up to 4.9 on my 4790.
Okay.
But it's not stable. I can't run any benchmarks or anything CPU intensive or a blue screen. I mean,
that's this could just be booted.
Yeah, this is not. I can't. This is not stable.
Boot, hit screen, print screen, and call it good.
Yeah, I mean, I could do that. I could say that, all these motherboards that I review, they can hit 4.9. Or even higher if I want to go that high. But I usually,
yeah.
I think 4.6 or 4.4 to 4.6 was where I kind of ended up. And I think that's still very, very good for that chip. And the thing is, heat has to be a big issue. When I'm doing those overclocks, I'm getting pretty high as far as heat goes as well.
Yeah, it's such a small package for the heat doesn't have as much area to escape from.
Yeah, for sure. We will have to see on this one. This is the air overclock, and we also had a liquid nitrogen overclock, and this one is 6.5 gigahertz. Now, for this, I feel that this isn't out of the – isn't that crazy?
No, it's not.
Because liquid nitrogen, we've seen these insanely high overclocks. I think we saw 7 gigahertz on an AMD chip last year.
The record is like – oh, gosh. I want to say it's – high eights.
Yeah, so we've seen some AMD of these really high overclocks because liquid nitrogen, you can pretty much do what you could. As far as temperature wise, you can do what you want.
And it's a pretty crazy thing to do.
And again, with this, is we don't know if this is a stable overclock. This is just how high they got the clock.
Oh, there. LN2 is never a stable overclock. Yeah. Almost ever. It's just the max you can pump. So, it's a really fun thing to do if anybody's interested in getting into it. It's a little expensive, but it's really, really cool the way you can just continue to pump volts into a chip.
Yeah, yeah. So this is with 2.032 volts, which I would never do on my test setup ever.
That would have been incredibly high on Sandy Bridge and older chips even.
Yeah.
On a chip like this, the 1.35 that they believe the 5.2 was at, that might be the ceiling.
Yeah, because usually when I'm overclocking, 1.35 is what I try to get the overclock at. Sometimes I'll push it to 1.4.
For Haswell?
Yes.
Yeah.
So this
could actually even be lower.
Yeah.
Because it's a smaller process.
Yeah. So we'll have to see. But definitely cool to see these overclocks. It gets you excited about Skylake, which obviously is coming out.
Yeah.
Soon.
Get my wallet ready.
Yes. Yes, for sure. And we have some more Skylake news, I believe. Yes, we have a bunch of motherboard leaks this week. We've actually seen a lot of these motherboards. A lot of them were showed up at Computex, but these are the finished versions of a lot of these. So MSI showed off their new Gaming M series. And what's interesting about this is the M doesn't stand for Micro ATX. It's so people actually know you're buying an MSI board because other manufacturers have copied MSI using their same naming scheme, the 5, 7, and 9. I'm sure you can figure out which company that was. but this is their gaming line. So you have the Z170A. K
Gaming M5, the Z170A Gaming M7, and the Z170A Gaming M9 ACK. Of course, 579, the lowest one is the 5, and the highest one is the 9. Look, these boards look awesome. It's being the MSI Gaming, it is a red and black design. These look really, really great. Tons of features on all of these boards. Of course, being the gaming line, they are made for gaming. So you have certain gaming features as far as the MSI's Audio Boost 3 audio solution, Killer E2205 Gigabit Ethernet, a lot of SATA Express ports, a lot of M.2 slots.
Yeah.
Just awesome looking stuff.
I'm really liking all the shrouds.
Yeah, everything.
Everybody is doing shrouds over, like, everything.
Yeah, it's I think this cool. is the series where you're going to see a lot of big changes to motherboards. We're not just going to... I mean, a lot of the designs are going to remain the same, but there's going to be a lot more added onto them,
yeah. I feel. Value-added features.
Yeah, because I think that the motherboard market is becoming so competitive now, just because it used to be, you know, Asus and Gigabyte, and now MSI has stepped it up so much. In the past few years, you know, and then ASRock has done some really great stuff as well.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's getting more competitive, so it's pushing manufacturers to add more features and to be competitive in price and, you know, to have certain things or have the coolest looking board. You know, where before it didn't really matter as much. Unless you were an enthusiast, but I think just people in general want an awesome looking board now.
Yeah. You think esports is pushing this?
Yeah, for sure.
Because, like, they care about the way things look and stuff. So, like, they want these cool, flashy, gamey looking boards a lot more than they did before. Yeah. There's more of a market than there was before.
I think esports has a big thing to do with this. I think just the growth of people building their own PC has a lot to do with this. And we talked about that like 10 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. Yeah. You know, I think a lot more people, because of esports, because of PC gaming, you know, the whole PC master race thing, that people are like, I'm building my own PC, consoles suck, I want 60 frames a second, and you're not... Most people aren't getting that pre-built PC. They're just not, because they want the option to do it. And it feels great building your own PC. Mm-hmm. So I think that has really, you know, made the motherboard industry a lot more competitive. So these are great looking boards from MSI.
Yeah, all these things are good for everyone.
Yeah. All these boards will have USB 3.1. So the biggest thing that I want to talk about with Z170, which we've seen, which we'll talk about in all these motherboards that we're seeing, is... You're going to see USB 3.1 on every board, pretty much. Okay. You're going to see SATA Express on every board. And you're going to see typically more than one M.2 slot, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Which means that you can have no 2.5-inch solid-state drives, and you can have two M.2
slots. Everything is on the board.
Everything is on the board, which is pretty cool. And it makes – there's a lot of different things you can do with that, as far as maybe having one for caching, one for whatever. You know what I mean? There's a lot of different things that you can do. But those are the big features of Z170 that you'll see from what we've seen, at least I've seen. So that is the MSI stuff. And we'll move on to Gigabyte. So Gigabyte showed up – or they didn't show off, but some people –
Someone
showed off some Gigabyte motherboards. So the first one is the Z170 SoC Force, and that is the SoC Force is their overclocking line. So this has the orange and black color design.
We always get one of these for every chipset.
Yes. So
they're top of the line. This should do massive overclocks.
Yeah, so it's made for overclocking. It has a ton of different features for overclocking. It has this OC panel that is actually on the top right-hand side of the board, which allows you to manually overclock
while the board's running.
While the board's running, and it has these really cool buttons. And this is the best iteration of it I've seen.
I was thinking the same thing, because we've seen a lot of this in the past on other boards, but like this is like super clean and looks like it's gonna really work.
Yeah, this has all the buttons are right there. It looks like all the buttons are illuminated as well, which is gonna look awesome inside of a case.
I'm curious to see what kind of illumination it has as well throughout the rest of the board, because that's pretty big this year.
One thing that Gigabyte has done with their overclocking line over the years is that, especially around the CPU socket and everything, there's no circuitry, so you can lay down that putty stuff. So when you're doing the LN2 overclocking, you can do that, which is awesome. This has a massive VRM, 24-phase VRM, which is crazy.
Yeah, that's huge. That's not really that necessary for most users.
Oh, yeah. But
those guys pumping the 2 volts into a Sandy Bridge.
Yeah, so that...
Sandy Bridge, excuse me, Skylake.
Yeah, this is that type of thing. The PCI Express slots have dip switches, so you can actually turn them off if they fail.
That's so cool.
All that kind of stuff. It has all of the voltage checkpoints. Ton of awesome stuff.
I kind of want this one.
This is just it's an insane board. It has 3 M.2 slots. it is just out of control. It has 3 SATA Express ports. Yeah. This is their flagship top of the end.
Yeah, this is a beast of a board right here.
Yeah, it just looks amazing. Pretty excited to see this in the flesh.
Yeah,
for sure. So that is the SoC Force, and then going into the lower end. I wouldn't say lower end, but this is their lower end board. It was their Z170X Gaming 3. So this is part of their gaming series. One thing I hate about this board is I guess they did a deal with World of Tanks.
it says
World of Tanks on the PCH heatsink.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, so I think a lot of people don't like that. But their gaming series looks awesome.
The board actually looks pretty good aside from the big logo on the
heatsink. Had to do some type of deal with them to put this on there. I don't believe this... The World of Tanks theme goes through their entire line. That would make no sense. That would
require some big money, I would think.
Yeah, and I don't think that Gigabyte would do that because I don't think a lot of people would buy these boards.
Yeah, I mean, you're limiting your market entirely.
Yeah. So I think it's just with this. The Gaming 3 is the lowest end gaming board, I believe. But we've seen the entire G1 gaming line, the Z170 line at Computex, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to see the top end of that line too. Yeah, it'll be a tough choice between the top end of that line and the SoC.
Yeah, so definitely this board has 3 PCI Express slots. Yeah, it has 2 M.2 slots. See, even the lower end, like 2 M.2 slots, 3 SATA Express slots. Obviously USB 3.1. Killer E2200 networking and Gigabyte's amp up audio solution as well. So these boards are just loaded with features.
You know, one thing that I was hoping to see, I mean, I know that electrically it's possibly impossible, but like the PCI slots are all still, I was thinking that at this level we might now have like a couple of x16 slots, but they're still completely split at this point, the same as we've seen for several generations at this level.
Wait, what do you mean?
The throughput on the PCI Express slots, when you add multiple cards, you're dropping down to
because
this one is x8.
Yeah, well, you don't have that many PCI Express lanes.
Right. I was just hoping that we might.
That's why you get a
get more. I know
it has well.
I know
that's why.
I was just hoping
X99, so you have the PC. Yeah,
I don't want to pay that much money. I just want the functionality.
Exactly. It's like I want a Ferrari, but I don't want to pay that much money.
Yeah, I want a Ferrari speed. Can you make my Volkswagen go that fast?
Yeah. See, that's you won't have that. But yeah, but these still do a great job. I mean, obviously, if you're having 2 cards installed, they're going to be at X8 speeds, but. Again, that is what you get when you don't do the high end. So,
yes.
But still, like I said, these boards do look pretty good. I like them. I like. I haven't seen a board through Z170 that I didn't like.
No.
Maybe I'm just excited for them.
But we haven't seen any of the stupid color combinations that we saw with Haswell either.
Yeah, that's true.
So this looks good.
Yeah, definitely. Where are we at here? Oh, last story of the day. And this one is something we talked about at Computex, and it's finally coming out, is ASRock's Gaming G10 router. This thing is a beast when it comes...
The most feature-equipped router.
The most feature-equipped router to ever be created, I feel. Not only it's AC2600 gaming router, so it has all of that. Awesome router for gaming capabilities. They have everything built into the software of the router for gaming. On top of that, it acts as a universal remote, so it can learn all of your remotes. So if you have a TV, cable, Xbox, PS4, surround sound, all that stuff, it will learn it. And then through your router, it can actually, through a mobile device in your router, you can actually use that as your remote. So I, you know, if you have 6 or 7 remotes, that can just be your phone now.
Yeah.
So that is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I think, and that goes over the Wi-Fi.
Oh, it's infrared. So
it it's infrared.
It has 2 infrared transceivers on it that go out each side, I think, from what I read before.
Okay.
Which is pretty crazy. I think they've done this. Now, the only thing is I don't know how those work, especially if, obviously, if you're in another room or something like that.
Yeah, I was hoping it was going to be over Wi-Fi.
But the thing is that all those other devices would have to have Wi-Fi.
Oh,
so, yeah. Like, your surround sound doesn't have Wi-Fi like that. You know, so it's kind of interesting. You know, but if anything has an infrared remote and it's within range, it can be turned on and off and be controlled.
Yeah.
And this makes it kind of interesting because, say, you have, like, an air-conditioned unit that uses infrared, right? You're on your way home, and you can access all of this over the internet. That's what makes it cool.
Yeah.
So that, because this is a router, and obviously you can, you know, you've been able to do certain things with your router remotely before. What this does is it allows you to, obviously, I can turn on my air conditioning, so when I get home, it's nice and cool. Or I can turn on my heat or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I kind of do like that. That is actually really, really cool. I think that's one of the big selling features of this. Definitely.
I think it's really, really cool. What do we have a price on it?
$249, I believe.
That's not really that bad.
It's in the 200 price range. Probably mid 200 to high, you know, right below 300. 249 to 289 maybe.
Top end routers are always in that price range.
Yeah, so it's going to compete with the other gaming routers that are out there, like especially the Asus, the Netgear, and the Linksys gaming routers.
Am I correct that this is Asus or ASRock's first?
Yes.
Router. Are we concerned that it's their first router?
Yes. I think that's the biggest thing is that even when Asus came out with their first routers, I was a little skeptical, but they turned out to be some of the best routers, and they still are some of the best routers out there. They don't get enough credit, especially here in the United States, but they are some of the best routers out there, Asus, for sure.
Definitely true.
So we'll have to see. I mean, we obviously don't test these. I would love to get one into review, even though I probably couldn't do the review justice because we don't have the proper equipment to test everything.
Right.
But I think feature-wise, this is just an amazing router.
Be fun to play with still.
What?
It'd be fun to play with still, even though we can't test it.
Yeah, so that...
So they could still send us one. That'd be okay, I guess, as long as they're not expecting anything.
Yeah, ASRock, just send us one. Just don't expect anything.
Don't expect a real review. We'll talk about how cool it is.
If we would get one in, we would do it. We would do a pretty decent review. But it's something to definitely take a look at. It's cool to see ASRock go into this. This is their gaming line, so they're going to have a whole gaming line. It seems like everybody's doing this.
You got to.
But I think this is money. A good flagship product for that gaming line. Not only does it look great, again, it has so many awesome features. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And it's definitely something that I would like to take a look at. I would like to see in person, and I would like to try out. And I would obviously like that as a router in my home for sure.
Nice.
So that is the news for the week. Some pretty awesome stories, I feel, this week.
Yeah, good stuff. Yes. Good stuff coming.
Yes.
Lots of good stuff coming.
So talking about good stuff coming and what we have going on next week, we'll talk about what we'll be reviewing So I will be doing another graphics card. This time I'm taking a look at the Zotac GeForce GTX 980 Ti Amp. Right. Their Amp Edition is factory overclocked. It looks awesome.
Those cards look really good.
Yeah, so this is one thing where Zotac has really excelled. Zotac for a while, they have their mini PC line, which is actually extremely popular. Mm-hmm. They did make motherboards for a while, but they didn't really catch on as much. But their graphics cards are some of the best out there, some of the highest clocked out there as well, and some of the best looking out there. So this is the first Zotac card I think I've ever reviewed, maybe.
Nice.
So I'm pretty
excited. And they gave you a 980 Ti? Yes. Way to go, Bob.
They hooked it up, man. So, again, that's why we built this graphics card test bench, is to get these high-end cards in. So I've been testing this card. I'm not going to give away anything yet, but it's pretty awesome. The backplate on it looks pretty awesome as well.
Yeah.
Awesome card. So
yeah, I saw the 980 and 970s all at CES, and I was really impressed with the way these cards looked.
Yeah, so they do a really good job of making these cards look great, on top of having awesome performance as well. So definitely stay tuned for that next week. I'm pretty excited to get that up on the site. I will also be looking at a solid-state drive, and this one comes from ADATA. It is their SP610, which has actually been out for a while now. And this uses the Silicon Micro Controller that was used in the Mushkin Reactor, I think. And okay.
Some more entry level.
Yeah, the Crucial MX100. So this is really, really for if you want to replace your mechanical, but you want pretty good price. You're still gonna have really good transfer speeds, but not as fast as say some of the other ones. Yeah. But it is gonna obviously perform much better than mechanical, and it's gonna get it in at a very good price. And especially now, we've really seen solid state drive prices come down. And we're going to see that continue through the end of the year, especially with the higher capacities, 1, 2, 3, 4 terabyte capacities coming out.
What size are you testing?
256, so I'm not 256 gigabytes, so I'm not that excited about that. No. Because that doesn't offer full speed that you would get on the higher capacity. So, but still, be a good thing to test, and we'll definitely be telling you guys about that next week.
And ADATA usually makes a pretty good product.
Yeah, ADATA usually does a really good job. And actually, this is such a small SSD as far as, like, obviously we open them up and show you what's inside. And this one is tiny. So definitely stay tuned for that in the review. And then, finally, you'll be taking a look at a, surprise, surprise, an all-in-one. All-in-one looking
cool. I am?
Yeah. So you are taking a look at the Silverstone Tundra Series TD-02E. If I'm correct.
Yes. So it's pretty cool AIO. I'm done with my testing. Actually, I've written a review, so that'll be up. Look, it's a cool unit. Check out the review, honestly. Like, this is one of the cooler ones I've done.
I think one thing that I've always noticed about Silverstone, it doesn't matter what product it is. Literally, every product I reviewed from them, the fit and finish of the product is always good. Even if the product doesn't perform or something's not right with it, the quality of the product is always good. I think maybe like we talked about earlier, like Deepcool should maybe look at Silverstone and be like, okay, like look at the quality. Yeah. Look at the
this is that last 10% that you're missing.
Yeah, I think that is a big thing with Silverstone.
I think that it's left out so often too.
Yeah, with a lot of different products, a lot of different companies. I think Silverstone over the years has always had amazing products as far as quality goes. I don't think they get enough credit for it as well. But this is the first Silverstone AIO you've reviewed, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I didn't know what to expect other than it looked decent, but when I got it, I was like thoroughly impressed with the way it looked.
That's awesome. So we'll definitely looking forward to that, and that's so far. We might have some other stuff next week. I always say that I do get busy, and some things don't always come out, and or we have issues, or Derek breaks hardware.
My gosh! I don't break hardware, Bob. It falls apart around me.
So certain things happen, but this is what we're expected to have on the site next week. So at the end of each podcast, we try to talk about something we did that week that's actually pretty cool. Did you do anything cool this week?
I talked about it before, but I kind of I missed a bunch of episodes since it came out. But Mr. Robot, show.
Oh yeah,
the hacker show. It got really weird. Really? I watched a couple more, and I'm like, oh, this is really, really weird now. But it's still
good weird or bad weird.
I don't know. I can't decide.
It's like one of those things. You're like, wait, should I keep on watching this? I don't know.
Yeah, like it kind of moved away from like computer stuff a little bit.
I don't know if I like that.
So I'm like, is this going to go back to it, or is it going to be like too much drama?
Yeah.
Because people were comparing it once they saw it. They were comparing it to what's the show where the guy murders everybody? The
Dexter.
Yeah, Dexter. They were comparing it to that, and I'm like, I don't really want to watch that.
Yeah. Well, you should go back and watch the first season of Halt and Catch Fire.
Definitely on my agenda.
Because that's on Netflix, which that's I know you have.
Yes.
And it's so much better than the second season. Like, amazingly better than the second
season. Did you catch up?
No, I haven't really watched any TV lately. Actually, surprisingly, I just made me think of this because I totally forgot about it. Is I've actually been watching these documentaries called 30 for 30.
Okay.
They're done by ESPN Films, and it's all about sports. But what's cool about it, I guess it's like the whole 30 for 30 is 30 years, 30 different directors. So each documentary is done by like a famous director, which is actually pretty cool. But they're all different stories that have happened in sports. You know, doesn't really matter. The couple of the ones I watched, one interesting was the guy. What's that movie? Henry Hill. He's a Scorsese movie. I can't think of it. I'm gonna find it because it's gonna blow my mind. Let me find it.
Sometimes we start talking before we should.
Yeah. No, but I'm trying to think of the movie because everybody knows the movie. The movie Goodfellas. Based off Henry Hill. He's in the mafia, whatever. And they did a point shaving scheme at Boston College, and one of the documentaries was about this whole point shaving scheme and all of that. It was actually pretty cool to kind of get the backstory on that. Obviously, I'm a huge hockey fan. Another one was about the Gretzky trade when he was traded from the Oilers to the LA Kings, and that was a massive thing. And all went behind that whole deal and all of that. So there's some really great documentaries if you're into sports. If they have ones on it, I've watched almost all the hockey ones because I'm a huge hockey fan. Obviously, I watched this basketball one. I watched one on the Oakland Raiders about how that whole franchise kind of intersected with all the racial stuff that was going on and hip hop and all that. So it's really cool. Really cool series to check out. They're on Netflix. Just search 30 for 30.
Cool.
Yeah. So I guess that about wraps it up. I know we don't want to kind of sit here and BS for you guys. So definitely you can always subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Just search Think Computers. And it is in there. Each week we also have our show notes. So everything that we talked about, all the news, all the reviews, even all the TV shows that we just talked about will be linked in our show notes page. It's just on the site. Just click on podcasts, and all the podcasts are listed there. You can listen on the website. You can download the MP3. You can do all that fun stuff. And that is it for the week. So until next week, we'll catch everybody later.